everyone, and welcome back to the Classy Chicks podcast. It has been a while because we took a little bit of a break for the summer, but I'm so excited for my guest who I'm here with, Jessica Knoll. She's one of my coworkers at Live Action. We do a lot of media production. We do Man in the Streets together, and we've gotten to know each other pretty well over the past, I think, 6 months or 9 months that we've both...
Yeah, it's probably been 6 months.
Yeah, that you've been working for Live Action as well as me. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten to know each other pretty well because we've done some crazy traveling things together, which we'll probably get into a little bit. And I've been wanting to have her on the podcast for a while. So Jessica, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Jessica Newell. I am working under the activism division of Live Action. And I think people ask me what I want to do with my life and what I want to do with working with Live Action. And I just want to, you know, be a vessel of God to change hearts and minds and save as many babies as possible. And, you know, no matter how that looks, I'm down to do it. I want to do a ton of different forms of activism and just help sidewalk counsel women. So I kind of am all over the place, but I like to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And we have been together doing a little bit of everything. We're in kind of different departments because she's in the activism department and I'm in the marketing, but At Live Action, we all are just trying to save the babies, and in whatever way that looks, you know, we try to step up to the plate. So before we get started and, you know, talking a little bit about who Jessica is and what advice she kind of has for young women, let's start by doing our classy and trashy moments. So, oh my gosh, I forgot. Normally I think about these before the podcast, but I totally forgot. Do you have a classy or trashy moment you want to start out with?
Well, I would say, I was telling you this before we started the podcast, but today was kind of a trashy moment for me just because it's so freaking hot outside. And I was walking across campus to move my car. And I'm like, in a way, it's kind of a classy moment because I'm all glowy, you know?
Yeah, you look
but,
gorgeous.
Like, the sweat
I don't
is
know
just
what you're
dripping. Thank you. But I don't know. I just feel really gross because I'm sweaty. So I would say that is the trashy moment of the week.
That is a fair trashy moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say my trashy moment. I had one. Oh, my trashy moment is that I have not gone grocery shopping in like 2 weeks. And so I've been like eating the last of everything in my house just because I haven't.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just been, summer's been weird. We've been like traveling a lot, doing a bunch of different things, and I haven't gone to the grocery store. So this morning I woke up and I was like, I looked at my fridge and literally the only thing I had left was heavy whipping cream. So I was
gosh,
I know what my breakfast is gonna be. And so I like whipped it up and put like pumpkin spice and made like a really good pumpkin spice like coffee thing with the heavy whipping cream. Mm-hmm. But I need to go to the grocery store this evening. So that's
I mean, I guess there's a lot you can do with heavy whipping cream. You can freeze it and like eat it frozen like an ice cube. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really all you have.
It was literally all I had in the fridge, I've gotten down to the bare minimum, but I don't know if I've ever gotten that far down before. So.
Yeah.
Gotta do some grocery shopping.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And what about a classy moment?
It's not like a specific moment particularly, but I would just say the fall season and the fact that pumpkin is in right now. I decorated my room like Halloween fall theme. I'm not like a big Halloween person because it's gotten more and more demonic over time. Mm-hmm. But I just love the feeling of it and the way that orange looks when it's decorated the right way.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can totally do fall without having a huge emphasis on Halloween. Like they're completely different things. Fall is a season. Mm-hmm. Halloween is a holiday that used to be a Catholic holiday actually and has been taken and totally corrupted. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, so sad.
That's a good
but question. Yeah, just like Dunkin' pumpkin, a ton of pumpkin things at Dunkin', and then I went to Walmart and I decorated my bed with a ton of pumpkin pillows.
Oh, that's so
and
fun.
Yeah, I would just say that has been very classy and I felt good about that.
That's so fun. We haven't decorated our apartment. My roommate texted in our group chat the other day. She was like, when is too soon to decorate for fall? And we were all like, we need to, because we normally try to have like like an evening where we decorate, or like just a time when we all kind of decorate. And we haven't done that yet, but I'm really excited for that.
There's no such thing as too soon, honestly.
I know, and I think that I agree, and I think that like September is totally like September is the beginning of fall. Like we're not anymore, which is crazy that September, but
it feels like summer, but you know, like, it's
the
fall,
weather outside feels like it's still summer.
I don't know how it is in Florida, but here it's just rough.
Oh yeah, it's still extremely hot. We had the hottest summer I think in history since like the 1800s here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is that's crazy. Scary.
Yeah, not the greatest, but it's fine.
At least you could sweat out all the toxins, and it's so good for your body.
Yeah,
it
is
classy
so good.
Chick.
and it is nice because, like, I mean, you have beach. You live by the beach too, but it's nice. It's nice when there's like a beach nearby for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think my classy moment would just be. I haven't spent like a weekend. So I there's a kid that I nanny and I have for like a year and a half now, and I love her. And but I normally, because life has been so crazy, I've been spending like a day once in a while with her every couple weeks. But we spent the weekend together, and it was just so great. Like I just love it because I feel like that like prepares you to be a mother.
Oh
especially
yeah.
Especially when you're spending more than one day with the kid. Like when you're just babysitting for a day, it's just, you know, it's whatever, it's fine. But when you're like actually consistently with the kid for like a couple days,
yeah,
it like prepares you of the responsibility that you're gonna need to have when you're a mom. So I love nannying her. That's like my favorite thing to do. So
that's so sweet. That's you're gonna great. Make a great mother.
Oh, I hope I have all girls.
Yeah.
I have five younger brothers, so I'm like, I don't know if I could handle more boys.
Yeah, too much testosterone.
Literally. So anyway, I want to kind of just, with Jess, I very much admire you, Jess, and I have since I've met you. And, you know, I feel like there's different ways that you can admire people. Like, some people you admire because you know what they've accomplished. Some people you admire because, you know, because other people talk about them a lot. With you, I admire you because of your, like, your joy, and you're just... No, I'm serious. Like,
thank you. That's sweet.
Like peace in God. And I think that that's something that is so rare. Like, literally, like, even more rare than just being a Christian and being a Catholic is being that and radiating that sort of peace and love and, like, just, like, concern and care. So, do you want to, like, share a bit of your story? Like, are you Christian? Are you Catholic? I mean, I know, but, like, listeners don't.
Yeah.
But, like, how did that come in, and then how do you think that you have that much peace, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I was raised Catholic. I honestly didn't know what that meant for a long time. In high school, I was very naive, and I just, you know, kind of ignored the truth of the world around me, and I was kind of too self-centered, and I really struggled with anxiety and depression, especially in high school. And a lot of that, I heard a pastor say that it can come from pride, and in the middle of pride is the letter I. So when you're focused on pride, you're focused on yourself. You're really looking internally more so than outside at the outside world and other people who bring joy, and you can reflect that joy off of them and just bounce off of each other. When you're looking so internally, sometimes, you know, it can really bring you down and bring others down around you. So eventually, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I became self-aware. And I realized that, you know, I used to think abortion was rare, that it never happened. And I guess somebody posted a poll when I was in high school, and it said pro-life, pro-choice, and it showed up majority pro-choice at the end of the poll. And that just really surprised me, because I always knew that abortion was wrong. I had Catholic values, but I didn't know why. And I thought that if these bad things happened, that they rarely happened. And that I thought the whole world and everybody in the world agreed with me. And I guess that's just because I had a positive outlook on other people and individuals. And I thought that everybody, you know, ultimately had a good heart. So I always see the good in people. So I didn't really recognize how prominent the evil in this world is. And that is because, you know, Satan is known as the prince of this world. So even though God and Jesus have ultimate authority over Satan, this world is going to reflect Satan, because there's so many people who, you know, just lean into that inherent desire of their flesh that is not going to serve them. So I think when you just become aware of what's going on and you get to know your enemy, then you can know the tactics of the enemy and you can see, you know, where he's shining and where God is shining even to overcompensate that. So I think a lot of my joy and a lot of my peace just came from understanding that, you know, God always wins. And even though the enemy is so prominent in this world, he is even brighter.
Yeah, I think that was beautifully said. And I think it is important to remember those two things that you said, that the one, obviously, God always wins, right? Like, it's very easy to, what we see every single day, all this evil happening around us, all these people who, you know, we might have, like, I agree with you. I tend to have a very positive mindset when it comes to people, when it comes to celebrities, when it comes, and we see all these people speaking all these evil things, and we're just like, where is this coming from? You know, like, these people, like, I wouldn't have expected them to say that. But it's true. Satan is very prevalent in our world, even more prevalent. I was just thinking about how, I was thinking and I was seeing a lot of stuff about how, like, Ouija boards and all that sort of stuff are being used now more than ever. And growing up, I mean, I knew it was wrong. And in high school, as I was growing up a little bit more, like, I knew it was wrong, but I didn't really know anyone who used them. Like, I did think that it was kind of how do you say it? Like, kind of not socially acceptable almost. I got that. And I think it was just the groups that I was in, because now, I mean, they're just everywhere. Like, they're selling them at the front of Barnes and Nobles. They're selling them.
I saw that too.
Especially as we get into this Halloween season, it's just all this demonic is happening. But I think that you also make a good point. There's a difference between, like, tapping into the demonic, like tapping into the demonic through Ouija boards, through whatever.
Opening the door
and knowing your enemy, right? And knowing where Satan is going to be and how Satan is going to attack. And I think that that's super important, because I was talking about a priest about this the other day too. I was, you know, saying kind of like, because I was listening to a podcast. I don't remember who it was by, but somebody that I, one of the Catholic podcasts that I listened to. And it was a priest talking about he was an exorcist talking about the demonic, and I was I messaged my priest. I was like, so I'm listening to this podcast, but I feel kind of weird listening to it because I don't know want to even hear about this sort of stuff. But and he said, no, like, there's a very big difference, and I think that our generation needs to know there's a difference between knowing about evil, where evil is, where you're gonna find it, where you can avoid it, and
100%. I think deliverance is so powerful too, because even if you do end up opening the door to the enemy and letting him come in certain nooks and crannies, like even secular music, that can be like such a powerful tool for the enemy to slip in into your mind. And even if you don't realize the message of the music that you're listening to and you think that it's innocent, it can still affect you. And so I think, like, the Our Father prayer is such a powerful deliverance prayer, where we can really tap into God and call on God to deliver us from evil and to turn us away from temptation. And I think that's so powerful. And we need to know our authority in Christ over the enemy and cast off those bad spirits, like spirit of anxiety. I cast you off in the name of Jesus, and always do it in the name of Jesus, because that's where all power comes from, you know?
No, I think it's so important to talk about around this time, especially around Halloween time and the October.
For sure.
even just saying like, you know, because you pass all these theme parks that are, like, totally, like, gross and, like, disgusting, and it just gets worse every year. Even just saying, Jesus, I trust in you, you know, that's powerful, because what we have to remember in a world that's just so, like, corrupted by Satan is that Satan is so incredibly afraid of God. Like, he's afraid of his name. When people
ain't
use
that the Jesus' truth?
Name, when people use Jesus' name, he's like, I mean, this brings us to another point. We went to the Satan conference. We went there for live action to talk to people about what abortion was. That's a fun story. So, Jessica and I, when was it? April, I think?
Yeah.
I think it was April. We got a call, like, 2 days before this huge event in Boston called the Satan conference, where basically the Satanic Temple, I believe, was leading a conference to, I don't know, you know, just one of a conference for their quote unquote religion. And, you know, one of our directors at Live Action said, hey, Jessica and Savannah, can you go there and, you know, talk to people about abortion? Because the Satanic Temple is starting a religious abortion clinic in New Mexico. And so, Jessica, like, I don't know about you, Jess, but I was pretty scared to go. Like, I was very scared. Yeah. I remember our video producer, he texted me the day before. I was texting him, and he was like, Savannah, you better not wear bright colors, because I'm like, no, I'm wearing bright colors. So we had to, like, target the night before and get all this black outfit. And I went to it, and I was just, we were there, and it's just, it was so obvious, the evil. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just feel the evil in the air. And, like, remember the director or one of the directors of the Satanic Temple? He had those glasses and the beard. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the horns.
He probably was the one who had horns. He was the one with the glasses.
I think, right? I remember.
Yeah. Who I talked to for a while, and he was super smart. And it was just so scary, because I remember after talking to him, I was like, it's important to remember that this evil isn't stupid. Like, they know, they know what they're doing, because it's not like Satan's not going to come in an obvious way. He's not going to come in a way of like, oh, do this terrible thing. He's incredibly intelligent, and he's going to come in little aspects of our lives. And I don't know, do you have any like advice for just like young people for like kind of like to stay away from that? Because obviously we live in a society where it's just kind of infiltrated all over the place. But what, like, do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the Satanists that I came in contact with outside of that event, they became Satanists because of a logical inference, and because of just their emotions and their reaction to the church, and because of church hurt. And there were people there who had shirts on that said, if you're gay, you're going to hell. And I'm like, this is not even why we should be here. So there were other groups who were genuinely praying over the people and trying to share the message of Jesus and the truth and hope and love. And a lot of these people just thought that that's what the church was. So I think when you know Jesus, and you know Jesus as a person, then you shouldn't feel like you have to, you know, turn to these other avenues to find what you're looking for and to fill that hole, because you'll know who he is, and you won't let anybody misrepresent him to you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these people became Satanists because they believed in the misrepresentation of Christ, because they didn't have a personal relationship with him. So I think as long as you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you're going to mass every Sunday, trying to go to daily mass, just craving the Eucharist and craving the word of God, because the word is Jesus right in front of us. And so, like, so many people ask us, what would you do if Jesus was standing right in front of you? And the honest truth is that he is every single day, and we still don't open up our word. And so I think just really trying to grow. And if you don't have that desire for Jesus, then just pray to him that he will give you that desire. Because if that desire will help you grow closer to him, which it will, and it will glorify his name in the long run, then he's going to give that to you, and he's going to want you to have it. So I think just keeping in prayer, consistency with prayer, and just making sure you know him as a person and are not listening to the lies about him.
So good. It's so true. Yeah, that was an interesting thing. I didn't remember. Almost all the people we talked to were like ex-Christians, or like ex-some religion. And most of it wasn't like Judaism or like Islam. Most of it was like a Christian religion, like Christianity and Catholic, which is just so sad, because they obviously didn't know who Jesus truly was, or they wouldn't be, there.
Mm-hmm.
So enough about the demonic. But I just, it was interesting because we got on that topic, and I was like, this is a very, like, I, for some reason, I feel like it gets worse every year. I feel like Halloween, I've always liked dressing up for Halloween. And then we go to All Souls Day, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day Mass, and we do dress up as saints or whatever. I don't anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm an adult. My brothers do. But I always like that whole like trick-or-treating, whatever. But it's just gotten like, I don't even like to be out at night anymore on Halloween. I don't remember last year, but I like, we had some sort of trick-or-treating thing. I might have been with the kid I was dating or something, but at night, I was inside. Like, you could not catch me outside. It's true. Like, the demonic, when people invite the demonic in, they're going to come. Mm-hmm. So anyway, off that topic, I wanted to ask you, there is so much differing advice going around for young women, especially in sort of the conservative and the pro-life movement. There's a huge surge of glorifying motherhood, which I think is absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I don't know if I've talked to you about this before, but I think that it's interesting because there are a lot of, and I think it's getting better this year, but I think last year and the year before, there were a lot of sort of conservative speakers almost telling young women, like, you should be a mother. I'm trying to think of the way to say this. You should be a mother now, mm-hmm. and like not, like there's no one about talking about the in between, right? The in between, mm-hmm. between dating and marriage and, you know, being single and like, mm-hmm. all that. What would you say to that? What advice would you give to girls who are kind of, you know, 18, 19, 20 and sort of in between, like they want to be a mother, like being a mother is the desire of their heart, right? But mm-hmm. they can't be a mother yet. And mm-hmm. maybe they don't know if they should be going to college. Maybe they don't know what they should be doing. What advice would you give to them?
First of all, hashtag me. That's completely me right now. I would just say that God's timing is better than our timing. And I have to consistently remind myself of this. And I am praying for my future husband every day, you know, and just putting it in God's hands, like placing the prayers down and lifting them up to him and letting him take on that weight. Because if you dwell on it for too long and you dwell on like the future, then if you think about the future too much, that's anxiety. If you think about the past too much, that's depression. So you should do your best to just be very in the moment. And if you're looking too far in the future, then you could miss what God is giving you right now. And it's just so, it's a lot easier said than done, because I struggle with it still. But it's just really powerful to know that, you know, you're on, like, ultimately not in control at all.
Yeah, that was a good quote. I've never actually heard it said that way. If you think too much about the past, or if you think too much about the future, it's anxiety. If you think too much about the past, it's depression.
Yeah.
Yeah, live in the now. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would just add to that, because I mean, I was single up to 6 months ago, and I was single for like 2 years.
You go,
I
girl.
Loved being single. Like, I think it's sort of just like this treasure time that not too many people are talking about. I mean, a little bit more now, but not too many people are talking about how beautiful it can be, because, you know, if you take that time to establish a great relationship with God, that will set a precedent for your future that is, you know, your life's going to be full of a million things. You're going to be a mother if that's what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, in these 1 or 2 or 3 years, or maybe even less than that you have before all this dating and confusion and then marriage and then kids,
mm-hmm.
the perfect time to grow your relationship with God and to grow, and I thought that this was very important, to build a community of women around you who, you know, who will be there for you, a community of Christian women who will be there for you, because life is going to get hard. Like, life, you know, life is going to get hard. And if you use the time of like literally just needing to work on yourself, and work on yourself in a way that's not this whole what do they call it? I don't know. Just like, there's this very secular way of like self-love and stuff.
But
if you work on it in a way of like growing closer to God, helping those in your community, helping women who might be pregnant in your community, you know, helping your friends. Sure. That is a beautiful, beautiful way to be single, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, people are always like, I want this in a man. I want this in a man. I want this in a man. But are you those things? First off, so that you can be those things for your man, like, you have to kind of practice what you preach in a way. Like, men and women obviously have different roles, but if you want a good, solid husband, you need to be a good woman.
That is so good. And I think that I think I was actually listening to Lila Rose's podcast, one of her the other day. Because I think that's what I was listening to. I love podcasts, so I listen to like a million. But she was talking about how there's this women, like, because of feminism going way too far, women are now basically like allowed to do anything. Like, women are never in the wrong, and men are the ones who have all these expectations. Well, the thing is, the expectations that we have for men are not wrong. They're good.
Yeah.
But we need to have expectations for ourselves, right? If we're being super sleazy and doing whatever the heck we want, a man who's looking for a wife and a mother for his kids is not going to pay any attention to us, you know?
So yeah.
I think that
it goes both ways.
Right. And girls are confused when they're like, oh, but I just want this, this, and this, and the man. Well, the man's not looking for a girl who's acting and dressing and talking like you, you know? So I think it is super important. Become the man, or don't become a man.
These days, you know.
These days, you never know, but don't become a man. Become the woman that you want. There's a quote about this, and I'm totally butchering it. I don't know. I know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Become the woman that a man that you want would want. Right? Become the woman that a man that you would want to be your husband would want as his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, yeah, I think the single years are not talked about enough. And I think, like, to this day, like, as much as I absolutely love dating, those were some of the most beautiful years of my life. And I think that that's something that, like, not many people can say, because most people, I mean, myself included at the beginning, were just like looking for the next step. Like, where is the next step? But that's, God doesn't call us to do that. God does call us to live in the moment and see the beauty of the moment and use the singleness to serve. Mm-hmm. And I think you are doing these things. That's why I asked you, not because I was like, oh,
thanks.
What should you be doing? But because I think you know that you're using this time to, like, fly all over the country for activism. To go on mission trips, right? To go, like, there's so much. There's so much that can be done if you let God work in your single years.
Right. So. Yeah. And I think the best way you can prepare too is by just putting on the cloak of humility and just, you know, grounding yourself in that humility so that, you know, the man that you were looking for just, I don't know where I'm going.
Well, it's true. I mean, men don't like prideful women. I mean, I think that it's true. Yeah. Like, grounding yourself in humility, because pride is the root of all evils. So if you have pride and if you think that you're this great, wonderful person, you're never going to be able to do anything that God wants you to do. You're gonna be blinded to what God's will is. But if you put on this close humility, like you said, and open yourself up to God's will, almost, there will be a bunch of options that will show up for you, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. So. The litany of humility is like medication every time.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a hard one to say for sure, but it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess you weren't. We said that at the end of a, I don't think it was an all-team call. I think it was a marketing meeting call the other day. And I was like, wow, I'm so glad I'm saying that. But anyway, well, thank you so much for being on, Jess. This is wonderful. I'll have
you on again for sure.
But thanks so much for being on. And for all of our listeners, tune in next week for another episode of the Classy Chicks podcast.